Rocky Man is a production of the Last of the Action Heroes Podcast Network, produced by Doug Greenberg and Jason Haynes. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Rocky Minute, and join our Facebook listeners group, Mighty Mix. You can also send us an email at rockyminute@gmail.com and tell us how great or how bad our podcast is. We have Rocky Minute t-shirts, coffee mugs, and notebooks, and other items for sale at our Rocky Minute page on tpublic.com. You can find our other great podcasts on the Last of the Action Heroes Podcast Network, showcasing the talents from the greatest era in action films. We can be found on any podcast app like Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star rating and a comment. Special thanks go out to the creators of the Minute by Minute format, Alex Robinson and Pete the Retailer from Star Wars Minute. Go to moviesbyminutes.com to see a complete list of all the movies that got the Minute by Minute treatment. Thank you for listening. As Sylvester Stallone would say, keep punching.
Welcome back to Rocky Minute, the daily podcast where we analyze the movie Rocky 3 one minute at a time. I'm Doug.
And I'm Jason.
And we have Tommy and Greg from Answering the 10 Count. Once again, welcome back, gentlemen.
Thanks, wow. Lads. Well, Tommy's always been going first. So I thought, you know, the cool.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a standoff there. Like each of you was waiting to see who would speak first.
That always happens when we have two guests.
It does, yeah. It's
we got to work that out. We should just direct that beforehand. Listen, tomorrow, Tommy, you go first, and Greg, you go second.
I'm used to coming second, lads. What a weekend. Thanks for partying with us, boys. It was great.
Yeah, we watched some footy, some glovey. We got drunk.
Fantastic.
Today we're knocking out minute 16, which begins with booze and ends with the white corner.
Booze as in liquor?
No, booze as in boo.
Ghosts?
Is it scary?
Boo-ins.
So did you guys know that Hulk Hogan was born Terry Jean Bollea?
Of course they did. They have a wrestling podcast. He's better.
Did you also know that he started wrestling under the name Terry Boulder?
Of course they know. They have a wrestling podcast.
Hold on. I want confirmation. Did you guys know that? Answer yes or no. With Brutus Beefcake.
The barber.
As before he was Brutus Beefcake, he was Ed Boulder, and they were the Boulder brothers.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Little background on Brutus.
Yeah, sure. That's right. That's correct, Doug.
Want a little background on Brutus? Can I use my one F bomb here?
Sure.
Brutus the fucking barber beefcake. So he's what you call Hogan's bag guy. Mm-hmm. He essentially has carried Hogan's bags, like held anything illegal he might be taking over the border. For him, like anything like that, he's been Hogan's guy for decades now.
His fall
and
guy.
In turn, Hogan takes care of him and gets him booked and gets him deals and stuff. But essentially, like he's a terrible wrestler who has latched on to Hulk Hogan and basically just been his yes man for 40 years or something like that.
So, if anybody would get busted with something, it would be him and not.
He would hold anything that Hogan didn't want to get caught with. Probably carry his bags for him in the airport. You know, probably get him beers and stuff like that. You know, when they're around, and in turn Hogan would get him jobs, get him booked, get him higher up on the card as well. Like if he was already working for the WWF, but get him the Brutus the Barber Beefcake gimmick. You know, rather than just being sort of a lowly guy, and just sort of take care of him. But it's always been said that he's just kind of Hogan's bitch boy, you know.
He just rode the coattails of Hulk Hogan.
And I'm sure there's imagine if you will, like just He's sort of Hogan's Pauly, I guess, to put it in context. He's sort of, you know, I'm sure Hogan's sitting around backstage like, oh, you guys don't know what they're doing. And Barber's like, yeah, I don't know what they're doing. He's like, I'm better than this. I can make more money somewhere else. He's like, yeah, you're right. You're better than this. You can probably make more money somewhere else.
You know? He wasn't the guy that Hulk Hogan banged his wife, right?
No, that was Bubba Love Sponge. That was
that was a great little scandal.
Oh, God.
You know, and that is a very important, like, in the history of, like, it'll, like, in law, that's regarded as an important case because it was, you know, he got bankrolled by a billionaire in that case, bankrolled all his legal team and got him, like, this super high-end legal team because the billionaire had a grudge against the website that released the tape. And so that was, it's highly regarded in legal circles because it was sort of groundbreaking that the first time a billionaire just bankrolled a lawsuit and essentially paid to have a company put out of business.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You got a lot of money for, yeah, $125 million settlement or like it was something ridiculous.
It was a crazy.
Or you got awarded that, sorry. Yeah. You got awarded that,
sorry. Like there's no way he'll ever actually get that money because it just completely broke the website and everybody.
Oh, right. Yeah. I think the moral victory was more important than the money anyway.
Yeah.
For a billionaire, who gives a shit, right?
Well, they set a precedent about I guess, things like that, like a company, a website like that releasing a tape that somebody didn't authorize. You know what I mean? Like stuff like that. Like if they did it in the name of journalism, but I think it probably set some kind of precedent on like the boundaries of what is journalism and what is private content and stuff like that, you know?
Right.
No, I think the bigger issue as well, or a side issue, was the racism aspect of it, you know, with what he said in the video, you know, because he did lose his WWE job for 4 years or so and lost sponsorships and you name it, he was, you know, he lost quite a bit of money out of all that stuff. So he was probably trying to recoup some of that. Plus his divorce as well. Linda got a lot of money. So
Remember, Jay, Opie and Anthony were talking about that a lot back then.
Mm-hmm.
That whole sex tape thing.
Mm-hmm. That was great. Yeah, that was big news.
But a lot of years before that, Terry Bolder appeared on a local talk show in Memphis, sitting alongside Lou Ferrigno, and the host commented on how Hogan dwarfed the Hulk, mm-hmm. who was Lou Ferrigno, at 6'7", 295 pounds with 24-inch biceps.
Wow.
So then he changed his name then and started wrestling as Terry the Hulk Boulder.
Okay.
But then when he signed with the WWF in 1979, Vince McMahon changed his name to Hulk Hogan. He saw him wrestling on TV and decided Stallone. Sorry, I'm just going through my notes here.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Stallone saw Hulk Hogan wrestling on TV and decided he wanted him in the movie. So he wrote the part of Thunderlips for Hulk Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Max. That's really, you can tell it was written to him. That's no one else could apply it at the time. No. Maybe superstar Billy Graham, maybe, but he wasn't that tall. He was.
Yeah. Yeah. He was older at the time too. He was a bit over the hill at the time. Like I said, yeah, he wasn't as big as Hogan. And he still had plenty of hair.
Yeah.
You know, like just could really play this character spot on. There was something about talking about Hogan. Just I think when Vince brought him in, he wanted him to dye his hair red, but his hair had already so much of his hair had already fallen out. He said he told him he was going to have to keep it blonde because he was afraid if he dyed it again, it would just kill his hair. Just the rest of his hair would fall out.
Just all of it. I don't think that's what causes baldness, but okay. They knew less about male pattern baldness back then. he was at a wrestling show in Madison Square Garden when he got the promoter said Sylvester Stallone's on the phone. He wants you to start. Or he wants you for a big part in the new Rocky movie, and he thought it was one of the wrestlers with him, so he hung up the phone.
That's a classic wrestling trope as well. Every guy who's a big name in the has got a story about how they got a call from WWE and they thought it was one of their buddies messing with them, so they hung up on him.
Well, the egg was on his face because not long later, he actually got a certified letter from Sylvester Stallone And that's when Hulk Hogan called him right away. But this is where I had the notes on him getting fired. He breached his contract by missing scheduled matches to film his scenes.
That makes sense because this took 10 days to film or something, didn't it? This scene. Like it was a week and a half, so he might have missed a few matches.
Yeah. 10 days? What,
10 days of.
Yeah, how can they have. What would he have missed?
Back then the guys were working every day. They were on the road. It was before there was weekly TV and stuff. So they were on the road and they were working shows, you know, several days a week.
And Vince was like a slave driver too, wasn't he?
Back then they all were.
Yeah, they had the Northeast kind of. So it wasn't as far, but as soon as Vince Jr. came in, like on a Monday, you might be in Florida. Tuesday, you'd be in New York. Wednesday, you know, San Francisco. Like he was flying them all around the country. Whereas at this stage, it was more localized. So they're just in the Northeast, like, you know, New York and Philadelphia and around that area.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It wasn't just Rocky III that launched Hulk Hogan to popularity because he was on a Johnny Carson episode of The Tonight Show in 1983, which helped because, I mean, Johnny Carson had a huge following. So that did you guys watch that? I watched the interview. It's not bad. I'll link it when we post this episode. But it's a pretty good appearance on the Tonight Show when you know Johnny Carson's doing his thing where he's just marveling at how big Hulk Hogan is, and he actually asks him if wrestling's fake. So I'll post that too.
Yeah, I've never seen that.
So let's see here. So let's get back to the minute. We got so he's not popular with the crowd here. These guys, they at like 3-4 seconds they show a shot of the crowd, and this guy in the brown jacket is just giving him that blaster. What is that? Oh, so all right. So I looked up what this gesture is called. Do you know this gesture, Jay?
This one?
Yeah. It's called bras d'honneur. It's like a French term, but it's also called the banana, the umbrella, or the sleeve cut. It's basically just saying shove it as far as your arm can reach.
Sure.
The bras d'honneur is French for arm of honor, and it dates back to arm of honor dates back to the Hundred Years' War, where the French used it to intimidate the English.
Ooh.
Oh, where the Australians used it to intimidate the New Zealanders.
The Australians? Really?
That was insane. I should have said it the other way around, where New Zealand used it to intimidate
the Imagine Australians. You're like in the, when, how far back was that? You're like the 1800s or something. Imagine you're just a, you know, you're a dapper gentleman walking around in the 1840, right, whatever, and some guy gives you the all, and you're like, dear God, what a beast. I'm going to go back home. I don't know what to do with myself. He gestures towards his elbow. I'm intimidated.
Hold on.
My word.
I have to see if any of these are are suitable for the podcast, but no, so far no, because I said one of the alternate names of it is the umbrella. But there's a lot of a lot of definitions, like sticking your hand in a girl and then spreading your fingers out like an umbrella. So I might have to cut that. But, you know, for Urban Dictionary, they rarely let us down. Yeah. But he's holding a whip because those females that he's
his love slave
are his love slaves.
What does that even mean?
I don't think you want to know.
Love slaves, baby. Or sorry, baby. I want to know, like, did Sly write this? Is this in the script, like, verbatim, or is this something they, like, came up with on the day? Like, well, what?
Tommy,
what
is, you like, ask, and I can deliver.
Deliver, please.
Thunder lips. towers way above the crowd as he scowls his way towards the ring. He is an awesome sight with his white, wide-brimmed hat, huge mirrored sunglasses, and flowing bright cape, an outrageous outfit. He carries a white whip. Behind him are three slave girls. Two hold up his cape while a third fans him with ostrich plumes.
Oh, that's amazing.
Ostrich plumes. Clown's like, what do you call an ostrich feather?
This is
the plume, Rock.
This is the actually smart Sylvester Stallone writing this, not dumb Rocky. But this is where Mickey wants to call it off. And he says, you're wearing out your anatomy for charity. No one else would do this much for charity. And Rocky says, Bob Hope would.
Oh, I that was hilarious.
That's true. Now,
got me.
Now to our younger listeners. Younger listeners might be asking themselves, who's Bob Hope? He did a lot for charity. I guess that's all we can say.
The old guy did a lot for charity. Look him up.
That's what Google's for, kid.
But I mean, what makes this is Mickey's reaction. Like, that's true.
Right.
He can't even argue.
That's because Bob Hope, Bob Hope was like, so Bob Hope did like every USO tour in the history. Did Bob Hope start the USO?
I think he did.
It was his thing. So he was the original guy who went to see the troops, and I guess the idea was just to provide levity, you know, to the guys and lighten their spirits a bit. And so now you see like friggin' Florida Georgia Line or whoever goes and.
I like Florida Georgia Line.
Bob Hope was a comedian and an actor back in the day. Yep. He has since left us. He has left this mortal coil.
He did.
He lived to about 100, didn't he? I'm sure he lived.
He was old as AF, as the kids say.
That's one way to get out of beeping. AF, I liked it.
Mickey Burgess Meredith's acting in this scene in particular just warms my heart. Like he's so great in his line delivery and everything, yet so small and old.
You can tell.
I don't know what one has to do with the other.
Yeah, he's enough, I think. Called Mickey.
But shall we talk? Sorry, Greg. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's coming up, but you can tell that, he's at the end of the line kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Save it.
He's got no time for charity.
Like I said in the last minute, his lines, just like you said, just in his delivery, but everything just cracked me up.
Yeah, the next minute's got my favorite line in Rocky III, I reckon. The next minute. We'll get there.
I'll jump ahead.
Well, let's talk about Thunderlips' getup for a little bit. Yes. I mean, it was very, very close to how I described it in that script bit here, but he's wearing like a flowing red velvet rope.
Mm-hmm.
This what would you call this hat? A derby? Would this be a derby or a fedora or a pimp hat?
Pimp hat's a good one, I reckon. Yeah, I like that.
It's white.
It's got big feathers in it.
It's
I wish Hogan wore that when he actually wrestled him.
Sick. It's close to a fedora.
It's a stark white hat with a red ribbon around it and red and white feathers sticking out of it. But it's not just like red and white feathers, like, you know, bird feathers. Those feathers are enormous that are sticking out of his hat. But he stuck a feather in his cap and called it. <It's terrible. laughs> You see, Greg, that's from our nation's little patriotic song called Yankee Doodle Dandy.
Yeah,
I've heard that one. I was about to make that joke.
Okay. Were you?
Dad jokes.
CJ, at least I, you know, represented our country and I stole it instead of letting the Aussie make that joke. So
I'll sing while. I'll sing Waltzing Matilda. Don't worry about that.
There you go. I happen to fancy that song a great deal.
What song?
Waltzing Matilda?
I never heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
Which version is your favorite?
That one. Yep.
I like the Pogues. The Pogues do a great Waltzing Matilda.
Oh, do they? don't think of it though.
No, you should check it out. The what did I say in the novel here? The his sex slaves have names.
Oh,
Dora, Doreen, Daphne. That's all I got on that.
Dora, Doreen, and Daphne.
Yeah.
I like Dory.
Hey, by the way, I just had to look it up because I'd seen it. But we were talking about his attire. There, Hulk Hogan, after all his lawsuits and things that we mentioned and divorce payouts and everything, he has his main source of income, I think, now is his place called Hogan's Beach Shop, which is in Tampa or Pensacola or wherever he lives. It's just like sort of a gift shop centered all around Hulk Hogan. You can go and meet him and get stuff signed and buy pieces of memorabilia. He has a wax statue of Thunder Lips with the gear and the outfit and everything on it on display there. Yeah. Mm. I'm looking at this. Let me find the picture again. I'll send it to you. But yeah, it's kind of creepy, but it's there.
I think I don't know where he was. Chris Durkacz from Jay and Silent Bob took a picture and posted it to Mighty Mix of himself with a Thunder Lips statue.
It probably would have been this one.
I'm going to have to confirm that. Hmm. Mighty Mix. Please talk amongst yourselves.
But so my favorite part of this minute is Thunder Lips on the microphone.
Oh, yeah.
To all my love slaves out there.
I love
the lips here in the flesh, baby.
Is that in this minute? It is this minute.
Yeah. I love the bit where he says the ultimate male versus the ultimate meatball. That is
the ultimate meatball. When he says that, he like sticks his tongue out in
words. You can tell it's just like a cut. The acting, whether it's acting or whatever it is, it's like he'd been thinking on that all day, and that was his joke, and he came up with that. This is gonna get him. Ultimate male versus the ultimate meatball.
I can't confirm that Chris Durkacz posted himself with that exact.
Oh yes, there it is.
Thunder Lips statue.
Now, is this? We were looking at a picture of the Thunder Lips statue or wax figure. Is this a statue or wax?
I thought it said wax, but it may just be a statue.
Is this the actual outfit, or is there?
Oh, the one that Thunder Lips wears. I don't know.
I believe it's represented as such, but we don't want to do that for you here. So let's see.
Do you guys see here in this crowd shot at second 32?
Mm-hmm.
This lady in pink hates Thunder Lips.
Mm-hmm.
You see her?
Yes. Yeah, I was about to bring her up. Yeah.
Those are two very aggressive thumbs downs.
Well, I imagine a woman like this would hate Thunder Lips because she's obviously not going to be a sex slave. nobody would choose her as a sex slave. Ever. So.
Oh, love slave. Not sex slave, Jay.
What is it? I thought it was sex love slave. Love slave.
Love slave.
What's the difference?
They're more than just pieces of meat, Jay.
What is the difference? What is a fucking love slave? It's a sex slave. Like, it's not just someone you keep in your basement tied up and you're just going, oh, I love you. See you tomorrow.
It's just a polyamorous kind of thing,
Yeah, so no one's choosing this woman as a love slave.
Yeah. Now, do you think.
She's got this great old lady. Like those mom glasses from the late 70s, early 80s, like octagon shaped.
Right. Yeah. A sensible blouse.
Now, after
why that lady got like front row tickets to the Thunder Lips versus Rocky fight. Like she doesn't look like the type.
Won a radio contest.
And look at the girl right behind her, the blonde with the she got like a weird face on, like she's like annoyed.
Annoyed?
Like, look at her behind that lady. There's like a younger blonde girl smiling with like an annoyed look on her face.
Oh, yeah. She just doesn't want to be there.
Or maybe she's like, look at this hunk of man up there, and I'm with this fucking weirdo with the mustache over here.
Well, speaking of that, so Thunder Lips opens his robe and he addresses the crowd, and Adrian, just like scooping her jaw off the floor, says, oh my God. So now you might be thinking she's worried about Rocky's safety, but I'm thinking that she's licking her lips.
No,
Come on.
Her oh my god is a scary, like, oh my god, look at him. She doesn't look like a sexy.
Yeah, she
oh
is. God. She says, look what he's packing.
No, I don't think so.
The ultimate male.
The ultimate male.
Yeah. She's looking at the ultimate male when she's married to the ultimate meatball.
Yeah, he is the ultimate meatball. Poor is a little Mikey there with her.
Mm-hmm. Mikey?
Poor little kid? Mikey's gonna see this, yeah.
Mikey. yeah, so our friend, the fight announcer, starts his introductions by calling the white corner, but we'll save all of that, the intros and stuff, for next minute. How's that sound? Good?
I like it.
Okay.
I like it.
The boss, I like it.
Oh, my favorite other corny dad joke at the very end here was, how much would it cost for you to get in the ring with him? Can you start at Fort Knox?
Which is also in the script. These guys aren't ones to spitball and ad lib. That was in the script.
Could you start at Fort Knox?
I mean, Fort Knox jokes don't really land these days, do they?
No.
Usually it's about...
We have Venmo. Like,
yeah. I think it's lost. Yeah. Venmo.
Could you start at Venmo? I don't know. It doesn't have the same ring to it.
Have a hearty little chuckle. All right, fellas. So it's Monday, I think. tell our fans again. You know,
it's Tuesday. Didn't,
whatever it is. Yeah, it is. Goddamn time changes. Are you across the what's that, international dateline or whatever that is?
I am. Yes. It's kayfabe. Yeah. I'm up. Tuesday. It's Tuesday.
Freaking mind blowing. So it's Tuesday for all you Aussies and Kiwis over there. But for our local fans, tell them again about Answering the 10 Count and where they can find it.
Mm-hmm. Also, Answering the 10 Count is a former weekly wrestling podcast. Now, every now and then wrestling podcast. Whenever we feel like it, wrestling podcast. Greg has two kids, so, we just do our thing when we can. We also have some movie reviews, some TV reviews. We've done our fair share of Sly movies. We've got a Tango and Cash review. We've got a over-the-top review up as well. So all of our back catalog is there. You can look, search Answering the 10 Count on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, all that jazz. We're also on Twitter at Answer the 10 and on Facebook, Answering the 10 Count, where we're still fairly active on both of those places.
Fantastic. All right. Well, everybody, you heard them. Go do it. And then come back tomorrow. Hold on. Come back tomorrow for a brand new episode of Rocky Minute.
In the flesh, baby. All my love slaves out there. I don't know if you guys have more background info than I do on the movie, but I want to know who, if this was, I wonder who came up with this Thunderlips character and why he has love slaves.
Well, I might have some background on that. Let's see.
Oh, very good.
All right. So minute 16, it's Monday. So let's jump right in.